Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the RIP Tour podcast. I am your tour guide, Tim. And as you can see by the title, we are back at another history episode. And I can't do this by myself. And today is great because I have all of the tour guides with me. So, Gary, how are you, sir?
Hello. I'm good. It's surprisingly very hot here in the UK today. So, if you're not familiar with UK houses, I shall be aware of this. There's no way of cooling them down because we don't have AC or anything. So it's 80 degrees outside and it's about 85 currently inside the house. So it's a little warm.
That blows my mind that you don't have AC. Do they sell like AC units, like, you know, like window ones, like you can put in your window?
Yeah, you can buy them, but they're like quite pricey. And then again, like pricey to power them as well. So I don't know anybody personally who has one, but...
Gotcha. All right.
I mean, we only get probably like 5 warm days a year, so I don't think the cost to like how much you would use it would pay off.
Yeah, I get it. All right, cool. Our next tour guide here is Luke. Welcome back, Luke. How you feeling, man?
Hey, I'm actually feeling a lot better.
Excellent.
Yeah, the vid got me, but it's all good. We did the proper things, quarantine.
I gotcha. Well, we're glad you're back and feeling better. And then our final tour guide. Yeah, it's Ash. Hey, Ash.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
There it is.
I'm doing great, Tim. Well, as great as I can be, actually. I've got work in about an hour and a half, and I never work on Sundays, so I'm just like, I'm doing this just to kind of take my mind off work, so you're lucky I'm here.
Wow. That's how it's going to be.
Wow, thanks, Ash.
I know. I do get that, though, because I hardly work Sundays, too. I feel like Sunday is the worst day to work ever. But I want to share something with you guys before we get into it. So today, as of this recording, we are 54 days out from the start of Horror Nights.
Dang. That's crazy. Can you remember when it was like over 200 days to go? It's just crazy. Honestly.
That's going to be gone in no time. It's going to be opening night before.
Last couple of months have just flew by.
I was just going to say, every time I talk to Gary, you know, we're like, oh, you know, it's 3 months till you're here, 4 months till you're here. And I'm just like, dude, this is just blowing by. It's going to be here before we all know it.
Wild.
Crazy, crazy. So by the title, we are on another history episode today, and we are celebrating and going through Halloween Horror Nights 6. What do you guys think about that? We are up to 6 now. Kind of crazy.
Exciting.
A whole child.
Yes, a whole toddler.
It's nice to squeeze one of these in because we're going to get lost probably in the hustle and bustle of announcements season.
I was going to say, we talked about, you know, trying to get another a history episode out before that because, yeah, I got a feeling that, you know, with only 54 days out, we should get bombarded with announcements, I would think, over the next few weeks, right?
So let me just ask you this little tidbit here. So would you rather we got a lot of announcements closer to the event altogether, or would you like them spread out from, like, say, March to August?
I have a couple different thoughts on this. I kind of would love for them to just drop the announcements just right before the event. Just because I think that would just blow everybody's mind and just make everybody nuts. But in the sense of wanting to, you know, promote the event, you have to at least make some kind of announcements early. Otherwise, you're not going to get the crowds in.
Yeah.
You know, those IPs are so important now. That's what brings the people in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean, for people like us, we could go to the event without knowing any of the houses.
Correct.
And you would still drop $200 and something on tickets, you know?
Correct. I was just going to say, it doesn't matter to us, you know, all the crazy HHN super fans, you know, we don't, I mean, obviously, yeah, we're going to moan and groan that there's no announcements, but we could go in blind as long as the event's happening and we're getting all these houses. It'd be awesome, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's just my thought.
Which is true, yeah, because I'm like, I don't care when they announce anything. I'm just, I'll go when I go. But I think that's also the privilege of living, you know, right by the parks. But like you said, Gary's a little bit further than that.
A little bit, yeah. Yep. He's got, and then that's the thing that, you know, everybody that's, you know, out of state, out of country, needs to plan ahead of time.
So I actually plan my trips like probably over a year out. So like, even now, July, 22, we're sort of already planning 2023's trip and currently looking for hotels and flights and, you know, when's the best time to go and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So shall we get into the history episode? I guess you guys keep sending me back in time. Somebody's got to give me some gas money, though. This thing takes a lot.
Whoa, not with these prices.
Just a little bit. We just need to start her up. That's all we need to do. So here we go. I was gonna say, let's see if this thing starts so I can get back in time. Halloween Horror Nights 6 reverted back to having no official icon or mascot for the event and titled this year's installment as A Journey into Fear. In early October, Doritos ran a promo on Fox to advertise this year's Halloween Horror Nights to expose itself to a much wider national audience. Universal, during this advertising, also ran a competition which would include a Horror Nights getaway package including flights, hotel stay, and park tickets for the lucky winner. The event, which featured 3 haunted houses, 1 scare zone, 4 shows, and a parade, was held for 15 nights in October and November of 1996. Although there was no official icon, the Crypt Keeper did return to host one haunted house and was the grand marshal for the first official Halloween Horror Nights parade. Halloween Horror Nights 6 would run over 15 nights, October 11th and 12th, 17th through 19th, 23rd through 28th, and then 30th and 31st, and then November 1st and 2nd. The event ran nightly from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. on non-peak nights and 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Single admission to the event was $38.50 plus tax, and Florida residents again got $5 off. Also, Florida and now Georgia residents could get an early bird single night admission for $28.50 plus tax. Stay and Scream could be added and was priced at $12.95 if you had valid daytime admission. A new offering of a gory getaway was included at $49 plus tax, which included a night's hotel stay and a single night admission ticket. The event guide or event brochure featured almost a reptilian creature tearing through a red and black banner with the words Universal Studios on it. It gave the impression of a dangerous creature lurking in the dark, ready to attack. Bird of prey type talons can be seen tearing away the material and scales featured around the slit yellow eyes. The first haunted house saw a return of the Crypt Keeper in the Crypt Keeper Studio Tour of Terror located in the Earthquake Queue. The event guide titled the experience as a relentless series of monsters and maniacs awaits as the Crypt Keeper guides you through a ghoulish studio tour filled with fiendish surprises. Secondly, located in Nazarman's was Toy Hell Nightmare in the Scream Factory. The description said, explore an abandoned toy factory and quickly learn the ancient, terrifying secret held within. The toys are alive and in no mood for company. Soundstage 22 played host to the third and final house, Universal's new House of Horrors. Similar to last year, the house was split into 2 separate experiences. One path was said to house all the classic monsters again, and the other had real-life monsters. The description was, visit this most uncommon wax museum where a lightning strike has had an electrifying effect on 2 new exhibits, Universal Classic Monsters and Real-Life Horrors. The premise of the house was that during the construction of a wax museum, lightning struck the building and brought the sculptures to life. The solo scare zone this year was a return of the very successful Midway of the Bizarre to the Amity area. Take a walk on the wild side of a sinister traveling carnival filled with killer clowns and crazed sideshow freaks gone wild. The first show, located on Mel's Drive-In stage, was Welcome to My Nightmare. It invited guests to rock out to a command performance, watch as rock celebrities rock their heart out or get hung out to dry, literally. Tricks, Treats, and Trances was located on the Animal Actor stage. The description said, come be a part of the hysterical fun with our Halloween hypnotist who will dabble with the deepest recesses of your subconscious. On the Wild West stage was a 5th consecutive installment of the dynamic duo Bill and Ted in Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure. The Crypt Keeper's Festival of the Dead parade was the final show. The parade went down Hollywood Boulevard, past the Plaza of the Stars, and finished in New York.
The parade ran roughly 2 to 3 times per night and had roughly 5 floats. Beads and coins were also thrown to the crowd. Rides and attractions that were open: Terminator 2 3D in Hollywood, Confrontation in New York, The Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera at Production Central, E.T. Adventure at World Expo, Earthquake the Big One in San Francisco, Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review in San Francisco, Jaws in Amity, and Back to the Future the Ride in World Expo.
Woo! Man. That thing needs a tune-up or something. It's just getting shakier and shakier each time I get back.
I bet the smell is bad.
Yeah, you know. Just got to throw a couple air fresheners in it, you know, something. Maybe some furry dice will hang or something. I don't know. But yeah, you know, there's that bit. So now we're going to turn it over to Ash, our historian, so he can actually take us through the event.
All right. Yeah. So thanks, Tim, our resident time traveler, going back, doing all the research there. But yeah, we're just going to keep it similar to prior episodes. We're going to break down, you know, the event itself in terms of how long it ran for, ticket price, it compare it to, you know, how it's been in the past. Then we'll take a walk through the houses, scare zones, and then, you know, news, history bits pertaining to that particular event. So feel free to jump in, cut me off, whatever you want to do as we go through this. So we kind of talked last episode, the Crypt Keeper, was he an icon? I think the consensus from us and I think we did a poll online as well, that he was not an icon, more of a mascot. So we're going with that one, right?
Yeah, we did do a poll. Yes. And that's what I think the general consensus.
Okay, so just not an icon. So that kind of, I guess, backs it up this year, because we did have the Crypt Keeper coming back again. He wasn't the face of the event, but he did have a house, and he did have a parade as well, which we'll get to. So yeah, not really an icon, more again of a face. They've rented this IP again with that. But the name of the event, Halloween Horror Night 6, but now we have a subheading for this one. It's called Journey into Fear. Now, last year was Halloween Horror Nights 5, which was the Curse of the Crypt Keeper. This time we have Halloween Horror Nights 6, Journey into Fear. And we're going to have the number and then like a subheading, like a tagline for the next 4 years coming up as well. So are you a fan of that? Are you a fan of the kind of subheading that goes with just the Halloween Horror Nights number? Anybody?
I like that.
Yeah, I like
kind it. Of, it kind of sets up, you know, your theme, if you will, and your vibe for the event.
Yeah, I think so. It kind of gives you and we'll come to it in future years. It kind of gives you a snippet of what is to, come for that specific event.
Like almost like a theme.
Right. Yeah. And then the theme for future events will get more, I guess, called this is Journey into Fear. Potentially what it's kind of pertaining to, but yeah, I do like the subheading. Now 15 nights. This year, the event ran for 15 nights as opposed to 12 last year. And it did start 2 days early. So it did start on October the 11th. And this year it ran until November the 2nd. 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. non-peak nights, and 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. Fridays and Saturdays, which is still pretty standard these days. You know, those non-peak nights run a little bit earlier than the peak nights. But yeah, we're not quite in to September yet, but we get in earlier and earlier. You know, they've added 3 extra days from last year. And then we kind of creep in to the start of October. Ticket prices, $38.50. That was single admission ticket. And it was $37 last year. So 1995 was $37. So it went up $1.50 from the prior year. Obviously, Tim's already gone over what we had in terms of discounts and savings. But one important thing this year was Florida and Georgia residents did get the Florida discount this year. So they actually did a park exit survey, which they still do today. So they did a park exit survey, which was taken at the end of the event of 1995. and they take obviously what state you're visiting from. Tons of visitors from Georgia. You know, a lot of it is driving distance from Georgia. So they decided to add the resident deal because of this. Good idea for Georgia residents, maybe, because they're not really nationwide just yet. A lot of the commercials are for local radio stations right now. But what are you thinking? Good idea to add Georgia in if they've seen an uptick in Georgia 100%. Residents?
Yeah, because now you're starting to spread this slowly but surely nationally. You know what I mean? It's starting to just creep outward and upwards. You know what I mean? Can we get that dollar just increase on tickets this year too?
I was just about to say that's good inflation.
I know.
And so $38.50. Can you imagine $38.50 for anything Horror Nights right now in 2022? I think I go and buy a round and it's $38. A round of drinks and it's $38.
I was gonna say you're lucky you get a t-shirt for that, right?
Yeah, really. The crowd would be ridiculous if tickets were that low. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And the tickets still, as of right now, are from Ticketmaster. So Universal itself is crazy. I mean, 96 is not, you know, it's not, you know, million years ago, but they had no ticketing service still. So you could buy a ticket on top of your park, you know, your daytime park ticket. I believe you can buy tickets the day of, but to get your Florida resident, Georgia resident, and to best bang for your buck, it was through Ticketmaster. So because they're using Ticketmaster, you know, that $38.50 might actually be like $80 because of fees and things from Ticketmaster. Who knows?
I mean, that's today, right? Because the fees are ridiculous. Right.
It's crazy. Yeah. I see some horror stories or like screenshots where somebody's tried to buy a concert ticket, you know, the ticket's $50 and they're paying $97 with fees and taxes.
I can back that up. I mean, unfortunately, there are lots of shows that I have to buy through Ticketmaster or Live Nation. You know, they're connected anyway. And it's like tickets $30 and the next thing you know, I'm paying $50-something for a ticket. And I'm like, what?
That's good. Yeah, it just makes zero sense. And this is, you know, Universal will benefit. Because I'm sure they're paying something to Ticketmaster, you know, for them to sell their tickets. So they are going to benefit eventually from having their own ticketing system. It's just not in place yet, which is pretty crazy. And also Doritos, they ran a promo on Fox to advertise this year's Halloween Horror Nights and to expose it, obviously, to a much wider national audience. And during that Doritos promotion, they had an advertising campaign, ran a competition, which would include a horror night getaway, which included flights, hotel stay, park tickets, for the lucky winner. So we are getting, I know we just gone to Georgia and Florida for resident deals, and we are hammering those kind of local radio stations, local channels on the TV for, I guess, people in that area, you know, like the Southeast area. But now we've got to Fox. Doritos running a promotion with Fox to get that package, which I think is a great idea.
I mean, any advertising, especially if it's going to make it national and, you know, with a brand like that, is always going to be beneficial.
Oh, for sure. And can you see the event guide, the event brochure at the top, the kind of clause coming through the Universal Studios?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know your thoughts on it in terms of the, so if you are listening, if you want to Google, Halloween Horror Night 6, it's sort of like a reptile, if you will, with claws coming through the universe. If you want to take a quick look at it, but I'm just going to pass it over to you boys. I'm just thinking it looks like a panther or a jaguar.
It kind of looks like a bird claw to me.
Yeah.
A bird of prey, maybe?
Maybe.
And then the eyes look like, reptile.
Yeah, the eyes do look like reptile, but that claw really looks like a bird claw to me. You know, like almost like a chicken claw.
Yeah,
I mean,
like a... Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if this is to do with the tagline, Journey into Fear. So, a lot of the times, like, fear is of the unknown, right? Like, for example, you could walk through... I'm just using an example there. You could walk through a park in the daylight on your own with nobody around, you'd feel safe, right? Because it's daytime. But if you walk through it on your own, nobody around, and it's dark at night, you're gonna feel a little bit, I guess, scared, if you will, for lack of a better term. So I think this journey into fear is, I guess, it's leaving it to interpretation what that, I guess, figure is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe like behind the curtain on the Universal Studios is fear journeying you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I because it's just the unknown. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on that as well, because I think this is a really cool event guide, really cool promotion. They did sell this one on t-shirts as well. From my understanding, and we are going to get into it, this, I guess, reptilian creature was not featured in any of the mazes or any of the scare zones or even like a character from the event, just for purely marketing. So that's what I think the journey into fear is. It's kind of, hey, decipher yourself what this thing is. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, that is the, I guess, the specs of the event last year. Pretty similar to the prior year. Last year, we also had three mazes. We're going to stick with the three mazes this year, but we are going to lose a scare zone. We did have two scare zones last year, but the first maze we're going to go over is the Crypt Keeper's Studio Tour of Terror. So the Crypt Keeper's second house in a row. And that was located in the Earthquake queue. And now I know people on the Discord are really enjoying the kind of walk through the mazes. But yeah, so basically the Crypt Keeper would lead guests through a film studio where horror films were created. If you've seen the Tales from the Crypt movies, right, where he's kind of like in the chair with his like megaphone, he's like the director. You've seen those? Okay. Perfect. So same thing, he's in the chair, he's got his megaphone, and that's who you see at the start. Because with the Tales from the Crypt, as you're aware, the Crypt Keeper always introduces the episode, and then he always comes back at the end and gives you like a moral of the story, if you will. So same thing here, you see the Crypt Keeper at the beginning of the maze and at the end of the maze. So basically, the facility was wrecked by an earthquake, fitting it's in the earthquake queue, causing many toxic gases to enter the film area and bring all the monsters to life. Outside, you could see a white winged stone gargoyle outside of the house, and it was made to look like a movie studio. The entrance had a broken arch that said the Crypt Keeper Studio Tours. And then a soundstage number 13 at the side of it. And then this is obviously, it's very, very tough to get, you know, a video, especially back then. But by all accounts, the premise of the maze was a tour of a movie studio where the guests met various scare actors dressed as monsters, maniacs. They also had the psycho shower scene in here, an electricity room with a worker getting shocked. And it can be assumed that many famous horror movie scenes were in there. And also the Crypt Keeper would appear throughout the house and to, you know, the end room as well. And also the Rat Lady is back in here, allegedly to appearing inside one of the walls in the maze too. So not a real big account, just more from word of mouth passed down through the forums and there. So what are we thinking, guys? Crypt Keeper Studio Tour of Terror.
I was just going to say, anybody out there has been through this house, there's a certain listener. We know who he is. Please post some pictures and whatnot from HHN6, please. Mr. Fures. he always does, though. He's super good about that. So I'm hoping he's got some good stuff to share with us after this episode comes out.
Yeah. I'd love to just sit down with him for an hour and just go through, you know, Fright Night all the way to today and just look at all the pretty rare footage or rare photos.
I was just going to say, can you imagine just hanging out with him for a day and just seeing all of the history over the years? Like, it's got to be just incredible what he has.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Gary, let me flip it over to you. Crypt Keeper Studio Tour of Terror, Earthquake Q. Let me talk me through it. Would you like to? I mean, I guess it's a given. You'll like to go back and see this because it's just Horror Nights history. But in terms of a maze you will be getting excited for, what are you thinking about this one?
I think it sounds really cool. I like the tour sort of aspect of it because that's like Universal's roots back in the day. It was more like a working studio and you got to see behind the scenes of it. So I suppose you could, you know, probably take this house to be a behind the scenes tour of the horror. It would have been cool to see the shower scene from Psycho because that is one of the most iconic, you know, classic movie horror scenes, you know, ever to this day. So that would have been cool to see. And I just think it would have been cool. I've never seen the Crypt Creeper. I know I'm going to, you know, get a lot of grief for that, but I haven't watched anything to do with him. I probably should, really, considering we're doing the history episodes. But yeah, I would definitely enjoy this maze.
Yeah, I think with the I think it is tough to get in the UK. Is like Tales from the Crypt, the episodes, I could never find them when I was in the UK to download them. So yeah, it is tough to get. I think what was it on here? Was it a HBO in the US? Is that what it that was on? Was it on cable?
Yes, it was on HBO. Correct.
Got it. Yes, I've got the DVDs of them that are pretty dated now. But moving on to the next maze. It's Toy Hell Nightmare in the Scream Factory, which is located in the Nazeman's area. If you are listening for the first time or a recent listener, the Nazeman's area is, I guess, the New York facade area, you know, opposite to where Confrontation was at this time, where the Mummy ride is now. This was Toy Hell Nightmare in the Scream Factory, and this continues the, the bloody gore house for this specific area. They're going to continue it. So this house was set in a toy factory in New York City, which was abandoned because the toys became possessed. They did have a character in there called Old Man Nazeman, and he was the toy maker, and he would use real body parts to make toys come to life. Guests would enter the toy warehouse 50 years on and encounter Old Man Nazeman, who had a habit of capturing unsuspecting guests and turning them into toys. And then similar to many houses, you know, a detailed walkthrough is not documented, but we have bits and pieces. So from reports and concepts, there appeared to be a cobbling room, which I think cobblers make shoes, I believe, where a surgeon cuts through bones to the screams of victims. The rooms were filled with bloody human and toy parts, as well as surgical equipment. Also, a demonic clown appeared, chopping up a victim, and body parts hung from the walls. Scare actors were burst out from the corpse with strobe lights. So they're probably further away than they actually are, but with the strobes, they're looking like they're close in your face. A meat grinder was painted as a clown car with legs dangling out of it. So really taking that toy effect with humans to that next level. Scare actors also hid under piles of toys. There were many scare actor, you know, slash human hybrids throughout the maze. And also a popular evil leprechaun. That was in a ton of forums that I was reading. This evil leprechaun was a hit. And also in 2020, there was a picture in the tribute store of TGA Manorino working on this actual maze, which was pretty cool throwback. But this to me sounds just like it just sounds a blast. So let me throw this to Luke. Talk me through this maze. This just sounds like a bloody good time.
Yeah, this sounds so gory the way it was described. I'm like, dang. And it also kind of reminds me of a house that Hollow Scream used to have called Nightshade Toy Factory or something. I'm sure they got it from this or something similar, but I remember that one was just terrifying. So I can't imagine what this would be like on a horror night's level. It's just the gore. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was a running theme for that Nazeman's. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cutting through bones.
Yeah. Geez. But
that was a theme for the Nazeman's area. They kept this like a bloody house. I wonder if, you know, because, some of the mazes there, they were detailed, like the walls were just covered blood, you know, blood everywhere. God. So I wonder if they kept some of these, you know, for future mages. But Tim, talk me through. This sounds like a blast.
You know why I'm so intrigued about this? Obviously, you know, it just that sounds like really bloody and gory and fun. But the location of this, because I've never been through a house in this area. So I don't know exactly how this setup works. So again, whoever's listening and has been this, or been to this one, I just want to know what that looks like.
When I was doing some Googling, one of the things I saw was the entrance, like the queue line was in Sting Alley. How awesome would it be to queue up in Sting Alley for a house?
What? Yeah, that'd be cool.
Gary just likes queuing up in the Nazeman's area with that sun, don't 100%. You?
100%.
What you like. But yeah, Gary, yeah, you can piggyback on what the guys have said. This, what are you thinking about this maze? It just sounds like a sensory overload. It just sounds great.
Definitely. And we know from speaking to Julie Zimmerman a couple of years ago that back in the day, like, they didn't have as many legislations and, you know, they could get away with a lot more. So, if it's listed the house to have a lot of blood, I believe it's a lot. Like you say, I could just imagine it running down the walls and I could imagine it getting on guests and stuff. And, you know, I just think it would be really, really gory.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. And just kind of what Luke said as well, it just sounds terrifying. Just some of the scare actors and some of the, you know, the strobe lighting effects. And yeah, it just sounds a blast. But the third and final maze this year was Universal's new House of Horrors. And this was in Soundstage 22, similar to last year. 1995, the house was split into two separate experiences. So maybe there's four houses this year. I'll leave it up to debate. But we had two mazes. One was real life horrors, which was have Lizzie Borden and the corpses of her parents, where she would chase guests with a bloody axe. We also had Jack the Ripper and the Whitechapel scenes, which I think is really cool. And then we also had maze and nods to slasher icons such as Freddy, Jason, and Michael Myers, which I don't think, yeah, like Gary was saying, with Universal could get away with a little bit more. I don't think they were called Michael Myers, Freddy, or Jason. I think they were maybe their twin brothers, but who look similar to them. But and the other route had Universal.
I gotta stop you. All I'm thinking about is if you've ever been to Times Square and you see all the characters that are dressed up to take pictures with tourists, like they're similar, but they're just so jacked up a little bit. Yeah, Mickey Mouse. And whatnot.
that's how they probably skirted the lawsuits, maybe. But yeah, and the other route had the Universal Classic Monsters, which was very similar to last year. It had like an Egyptian archaeology room, also a sarcophagus mummy area, and it also had a quote unquote a dipping room. Which was featured at the end. I think this is a great touch. It kind of immerses you into the experience, but what it does, it gives the impression to the guests that they would also be turning into a wax figure to join the horrors inside the house. So let me flip this over. Let's start with Gary. I went to you last time. So you've got 30 minutes left at Halloween Horror Nights. Your time's running out. You're in the maze. You get there. You've queued 25 minutes. You've got 5 minutes left. You can only choose one path here. Which side are you going?
Classic. Always has to be classic.
Classic. Yeah. And what about the dipping room at the end? It's pretty cool. Like you're, I guess, immortalized with the monsters forever.
That sounds cool. I mean, we're going to say everything sounds cool, aren't we? But like, it's hard not to see, especially the older stuff, you know, because we didn't get to go through it. You can't give a first-hand opinion of it, so it's hard not to say that something sounds cool, but these really do genuinely sound like really awesome, and again, I wish I could get to go through them.
Oh, for sure. Luke, which path are you going through?
It's so tough. I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. I guess I would go to the real-life horrors, because that sounds a little bit more scary, I guess. And yeah. I love, you know, your classic slasher icons. What was it? The Walmart brand Freddy, Jason, and Michael. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. And what I do like about the real life horror as well, it's not just the slasher or horror classics. It's the, you know, Lizzie Borden, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, like serial killers. Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that'd be cool. You know, if they had like, I don't know, like a H.H. Holmes, like the Murder Hotel, or, you know, that'd be pretty cool. That lane.
Yeah.
And then Tim, last but not least, which side are you going
I'm actually
through?
On.
Are you going to run through them both?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm running through them both, but I'm actually on the side of Luke. Because I love the real life horrors. You know what I mean? We got Lizzie Borden and Jack the Ripper. These are things that actually happened. Yeah. And I think that does make it scarier because you're like, oh, this really happened, you know, as opposed to, you know, Freddy, Jason, Michael, you know, doing their thing. You know, some of those, you know, kills are just ridiculous. They're fun and I love it. Don't get me wrong. But I think the element of real life horror does make it scarier.
Yeah, no, I think I would go through, obviously we're going through them both, but yeah, I'd probably go through that one too. That's why I know a lot of people with American Horror Story, I know people have persevered with it and some of the seasons get pretty funky, but that's why I like some of their seasons. That Hotel was like the H.H. Holmes, they're taking that, you know, the story, that cult, it took a few kind of, I guess, serial killers that year and turn those into a story as well, which I really, really enjoy. Roanoke, you know, those kind of mythos around the true events there. So that's why I like those. So I probably would go through that one as well. Although that kind of dipping room at the end, I feel like would be pretty cool.
Fun. But
yeah. So yeah, three mazes, four if you count the dual paths there with the new Universal House of Horrors. Now let's get into the solo scare zone, which was midway of the bazaar in the Amity area. And I think we're all in the consensus that we do really like the midway of the bazaar, the kind of sideshows, carnival type atmosphere, but very, very similar to the prior year. Sideshows were set up, clowns, freaks, obviously scared and entertained guests. In this version, it was more of a Mardi Gras-esque vibe. Baron Samedi appeared with his troop of skeletons, and this scare zone really did epitomize the party atmosphere that Universal and, you know, Julie always wanted to capture for the guests. So yeah, I know there's only one scare zone, but you have plenty of, you know, things going on with shows as well, but they really are going back to the roots because they want to make this, you know, the world's biggest Halloween party, which is always fun to go back. So we won't dwell on that too much just because it's pretty similar to the prior years. But shows, we have Welcome to My Nightmare Show. That was on the Mel's driving stage, a rock and roll concert that featured, you know, cover bands playing rock and roll classics such as Kiss, Black Sabbath, Alice Cooper. And they've done this pretty much every year. They've had that rock and roll show, which is cool. You know, you can have a drink, you know, and just relax, watch them, or you can just listen to it as you're passing. And we also had on the Animal Actor stage, we had something called Tricks, Treats, and Trances. And this show was somebody called Cindy Lane, who performed magic with hypnotism. That's not really my thing, to be honest. But like Gary said, it sounds pretty cool just because we didn't see it. And then finally, for the shows, we have the, I guess, main event. The one that everybody goes and tries to catch is Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure. And this is number 5. Obviously, they didn't do a Fright Night year. So I'm just going to run through this really quick, and then we'll kind of circle back. So there is a website. It's called billandted.org, which is pretty a one-stop shop for everything Bill and Ted. But they do have a rundown of the show, basically. I do have part of the show on YouTube that I watched a little bit of it. Obviously the quality is not great and the sound was not great either. So I went from the first-hand account. So started with a Mission Impossible style opening. I assume Mission Impossible came out that year. Bill and Ted and the phone booth were kidnapped. And then it was an X-file. Now Mulder and Scully enter. And so does the phone booth and a cloud of smoke with the cigarette smoking man. And then Bill and Ted exit as they're kidnapped on their way to a Kiss concert. Did anybody watch The X-Files?
Nah.
I was going to say, I'd probably get hate for that. No. I didn't watch X-Files either.
No, yeah. me either. I mean, I do like the TV shows that way, but the cigarette smoking man is from X-Files. So that would make sense to people who did watch it. And then Bill and Ted kidnaps on the way to a Kiss concert just sounds cool. Then Ethan Hunt drops from the ceiling, Terminator, the Crown, and Snake Plissken, one of my favorites, all help Bill and Ted. During the fight, the cigarette smoking man escapes. Bill and Ted use the call home device and returns with the T-1000 from Terminator, Catwoman, and Boba Fett. So the T-1000, Catwoman, and Boba Fett. Will Smith from Independence Day enters and does nothing but rap, and Sean Connery's James Bond enters and saves the day. The song and dance finale begins with Rock This Town, followed by the Olympics themes. Kerry Strug comes out and breaks her leg, and then the Terminator carries her away. Ethan Hunt comes down in a white dress shirt and underwear and sings old-time rock and roll from Risky Business, and the cigarette smoking man brings back the phone booth, and they all play Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss to conclude the show. So no real, I guess, extensive. But I mean, to me, I mean, usually with the pop culture, it usually resonates a little bit more with me. But I mean, we've got three shows there. But in fact, I'm going to put the scare zone on this as well. So we have, you can only choose one, right? So we have Midway the Bazaar. We have Welcome to My Nightmare Show on the Mel's driving stage. We have the Tricks, Treats, and Trances on the Animal Actor stage, and Bill and Ted obviously in the Wild 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 West stage. If you're choosing one, for me, I'll go first. This Bill and Ted show, it's very X-Files heavy and Mission Impossible heavy, which I'm not a huge fan on. So if I'm picking one, I'm going to go and see Welcome to My Nightmare. Luke, where are you going? If you got to pick one.
To be honest, I think I want to go to Midway Bazaar just because if it was Halloween night too, that'd be just a fun Halloween party. And like you said, I haven't really seen X-Files or Mission Impossible too much. And that sounds like a very pop culture heavy for that year specifically, which I wasn't even alive for. So
<That's> yeah, very niche, very, very, very niche Bill and Ted, for that year. I think there wasn't too many movies or too many, I guess, pop culture icons to kind of pull from that year. Tim, where are you going?
I think you already know where I'm going. Midway of the Bazaar. I mean, I think I'm so vocal about this portion of Halloween Horror Nights from the past that I really, really wish they would just bring some kind of form of this back somehow. I just want the sideshows everywhere. Cool. I just think it'd just be so much fun.
Yeah. Throw like just loud music, some bars, and you got yourself a party.
Exactly. You know? Come on.
You know the scene from Trick or Treat when the street party?
Yeah. Totally.
Oh yeah.
That's what I picture midway. Yeah.
Awesome. And Gary,
I'm
going
different. I'm picking the parade. I just think like it would be virtually impossible to do it now. However, how good would it be to see? I mean, we know Disney, you know, are the parade guys, but how cool would it be to see Universal pull off a full-on horror parade?
Oh, a perfect. Yeah, and I think I mentioned this, I think it was last episode, where I've seen it on YouTube and somebody asked Michaelo if the parade would ever come back. And he just said it would just be a logistical nightmare now, you know, with the crowds.
It would have to be like a standing still parade on you know, specific built stages, so it wouldn't be a parade
like a midway of the bazaar.
Exactly. But yeah, I just think that would be cool to like get a spot for the parade, grab a beer, and just watch it go by, and just see how they could pull that off.
Yeah, and that is actually a great segue, actually, because the parade was the Crypt Keepers Festival of the Dead parade, and this was just a hit. The parade went down. Usually, it goes down Hollywood Boulevard, past Plaza of the Stars, and it finishes in New York area. It ran 2 to 3 times a night, depending on if it was a peak night or not. And it had 5 floats. Now, beads and coins were thrown from the crowd. If you can hear this. You hear that? Those are the coins from that year. I've got the 1996 coins in my hand right now.
Ash is like playing drums there. What was
that? Ash is flexing.
No, yeah, so disclaimer, these were given to me. I am not, and everybody's different, but I'm not a big fan of, I guess, merchandise or t-shirts or whatever from years I've never been to. I just don't get that part because I don't want to wear a t-shirt or have merch for, you know, something I've never been to. But yeah, I've got these. They're pretty cool. So maybe I can post those after. I think they're plastic, but they're coated with some sort of metal. So yeah, you're throwing beads, but you're also throwing, I guess, metal coated coins as well, which isn't, you know, that safe. But
I've actually got one in my hand now from 2001.
Oh wow! So what's that got on there? Is it got Eddie on there? Yeah,
it's got the torn eyes Eddie that we saw a replica print of on last year's marketing. Again, I was given this. I didn't attend 2001, but I was given this. So yeah, they are pretty cool to own.
So when we get to 2001, you get to jangle yours
to tap the coin.
perfect. And then so the parade started with the Chainsaw Drill Team. Chainsaw Drill Team was back. And then Stilt Walker scare actors were in between each float. Between one of the Stilt Walkers, so in England, we call these a Minotaur. I think in America, you call them Minotaurs. You know, head of a bull, body of a man, yeah. From Greek mythology?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Gary. You were saying Minotaur, right?
I thought it was a Centaur.
No, Centaur is the horse.
Like a goat, isn't it?
I don't know.
What do you call it? A Minotaur.
It's
Minotaur. 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 Yeah. We call it a Minotaur.
Yeah, I think it's a Minotaur too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was in the Theseus in the maze, and he had to escape it, and he used the it used the ball of wool, right, or yarn to get out of the mitt. Anyway, it's not a lesson. But anyway, one of the stilt walkers was a minotaur, a head and legs. Another one was a lord of darkness. One float was a woman tied down as like a sacrifice. Another had a giant snake's head on it. Tim, here's one for you. We had Cenobites from Hellraiser. And skeletons were also featured. Yeah. There was also a vampire float, voodoo float, one depicted like a cemetery, and there was also a giant zombie float near the end. And at the very end, there was an undertaker throwing ashes at the ground, and then the crypt keeper was the grand marshal, obviously, of the parade, and he was on the final float, sat in his director's chair, and they also had fire blasting on the rooftop that went along with music as well. So yeah, Gary actually snuck that one in there that he would go and visit. I completely forgot to go over the parade, but let's flip it to Tim. Like, how good does this parade sound? Those floats and the kind of scare actors moving around
again,
with it.
Why don't they do some of these things now? It just sounds incredible. I mean, they have parades to begin with, you know, during the day and throughout the parks. Why not have one? I mean, I guess I understand now, like as I say it out loud, it would be tough because of the scare zones with all the stuff that's in it. Yeah. If they'd have to move props and, you know, whatnot. I get that.
Yeah.
But man, do something. Bring Midway of the Bazaar back. You could have the floats just out there, you know, in certain spots, yeah. And then you can do shows from the floats or whatever, you know?
I think the Midway of the Bazaar may make a comeback at some point. It has now and again, so maybe we'll get those back. You know, the New York and Hollywood areas are perfect for it because there's so much space there as well to set up those stages. But yeah, I know Gary already went over this, but Luke, like, come on, how good does this sound?
Yeah, this parade sounds awesome, especially with the fire at night. I'm sure just the lights, the music, and the vibe is so, so cool. Probably Mardi Gras times 10, you know.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And then I think they had actual specific employees, like scare actors, who would just marshal the fire. They would not watch the parade. They would just watch the fire on top of the roofs and make sure nothing was enough. But yeah, that's pretty much it for everything. We've gone over the mazes, the zones, and the shows and parade. Last couple of things in terms of, you know, marketing material, if you will. But we had, firstly, for the first year, we had Dracula's Tavern. It was first featured this year because it was listed on the event guide. And this was the theme for the bars that was spread out throughout the park. And it said on the event guide, it said, "The Count is offering the finest spirits for your drinking pleasure at various locations, as well as additional food and beverage carts located throughout the studio." So maybe this was the birth of the food and drink offerings that now is a big, big staple of today's events, because this is the first time it was actually featured on the event guide. Auditions for scare actors for the event were held on one day only, on September the 7th. So let me just put that into context. Luke, when was, I guess, auditions for, I guess, internal or prior, you know, Horror Nights, I guess, employees?
I got an email in April.
April. Wow.
Yeah.
April. So this is September the 7th, which is, jeez, I think, which is, you know, it's just about a month before the event started. So it was a 4-hour event, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And some of the auditions were calling for strolling characters and non-speaking roles requiring strong, patient, and energetic personalities. Looking for all heights from 4 foot to 7. Yeah. And some roles call for bodybuilders. I'm wondering if that's going to be like the Minotaur or Minotaur people, because they were shirtless. So, and then they also had a 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. audition with street stars to be prepared for a short dance routine, height range between 5 foot to 7. Five feet to 7 feet. So probably for the dancing through the parade there. And I do have a piece from Amusement Business, and it was September the 30th of 1996. So this was a snippet which was, I guess, enticing people, but again, so late. This was published September the 30th of 1996. I'm not going to read it all because it's quite long and it's a lot of information we've gone over anyway. But it says Universal Studios Florida will feature Halloween Horror Nights 6, Journey into Fear. The promotion will run for 15 nights in October and early November and includes three different haunted houses built around distinct storylines, Crypt Keepers Festival of the Dead Parade, and a Welcome to My Nightmare musical review hosted by a stand-in devil who will also be featured attractions. And then, yeah, I don't want to, it kind of goes over each maze and house, you know, one by one. We've pretty much covered everything. But we also had a small little interview with Jason Searle in this one as well. And he was just saying how difficult it was from year to year to turn these houses into an experience. And they only have three houses this year. Imagine how much of a challenge it would be with 10. But yeah, he said Shirley's more involved with creating storylines for the haunted houses that they have been in the past. We want to tell more of a story and not just jump out of dark corners and scare people. We want to treat this like a play and a three act structure. So act one is where we set up a storyline. Act two is where we move the guest into the meat and essence of the story. And act three is where we wind up and complete the story. So given how they were doing it back then, where it's three pieces where they set up the story and then they give you all the scares, I guess, in the middle and then kind of wrap it up. Do you think that's what they've continued to do now? If you go through mazes today, do you think that's the kind of blueprint they're going for still, Tim?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Sorry, 1,000%. I was on mute.
I feel like,
but yes, I'm with Luke. I agree. Oh. No, you're all good.
Oh, did he say Tim?
He did say Tim, but that's okay, Luke. You can go.
Oh, my bad. I lost my train of thought.
But yeah, so the mazes today. Do you think they're going for the still blueprint of that storyline?
Yeah,
you know, the three act storyline, if you will.
Yeah, 1,000%. I feel like every house they have has such an intricate story. Every time they announce it, people just love it. I love it.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with that too. I was going to say, like, they know what they're doing. They have, you know, they figured it. I think they figured it out early.
People complain that the houses now aren't as scary, but I would rather sacrifice some of the scariness for a much more immersive experience where you still get some scares, but it's also balanced with storyline, set design, and just being fully immersed, you know, into that theme. I think that for me works better as a house than just pure jump scares.
I agree completely as well, especially nowadays where they have, you know, we're in double digits now for houses. So even if they split it where maybe one of the mazes or, you know, 30% of the mazes are not real, you know, terrifying jump scares all the time, but like you said, a more immersive experience, like an IP, for example, you're walking through like one of your favorite movies, like walking through Ghostbusters, right? You're walking through one of your favorite movies, or Trick or Treat, you're walking through one of your favorite movies. They're not necessarily terrifying, but you are taken out of, you know, the hustle and bustle of walking out in the streets and you're going into one of your favorite movies and just experiencing that. And then you could have an original where it's just pure terror and it's jump scare. You don't get a minute to rest. So I think I completely agree with that. They could kind of split them up and do it that way. But yeah, that's pretty much it, boys. That is the entire event from 1996, for everything there. So yeah, fun year. By all accounts, and like if you did say, you know, if you did go to the event, you know, if you have pictures or anything like that, shoot them all. That we'd love to see it.
Post them up on our Twitter. And well, Twitter is easier, so then we can post them every. But yeah, I love getting all the old pictures, you know, from Mr. Furious. so hopefully he will post some good ones, because man. I love seeing all the old stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah. And we are going to get into an age now where, you know, there's more people gone, because it's, you know, only a handful of people, not obviously not a handful of people, but a handful of people now that I guess in the, maybe still in the community, if you will, you know, we're only there back then, but now we're going to start getting to, you know, firsthand accounts of people who are going to be there. But yeah, we just wanted to squeeze this history episode that's exciting. In before we get into the real
and I think maybe what we should do is maybe we should find out like who has been at these coming, you know, the upcoming ones, and you know, get maybe get some guests on and that can talk about, you know, their experiences, you know, through the houses and the scare zones and stuff.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, Ash, thank you very much.
Yeah.
What a year. That was a good one. So I'm just going to run it around before we close things up. Anybody got anything they want to share, notes, news maybe we missed or anything like that? So Gary?
It's been a little bit quiet on the sort of speculation front, but we did. There is something circulating, you know. I think we touched on it when we had Brian on, the Evil Dead dropping off the spec map.
Yeah.
There's rumours that that's got the chopping block. Excited to see what could be replacing it. And hopefully we get another announcement soon. I think everybody was guessing it was going to be this week, but Horror Nights had other plans.
Yeah. Hopefully this coming week, you know, because we recorded, so it's always a given.
Probably today.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, as soon as we're done. What about you, Ash? You got anything?
No, nothing to add, really. Just what Gary said, this is probably the calm before the storm. You know, we're going to get some announcements coming thick and fast, because, I mean, it's almost the middle of July, so it's going to be August soon. So, yeah, expect this to be the calm before the storm, for sure.
Absolutely. And then, Luke, what you got for us? Anything?
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys, but it's crazy. 54 days left. That's going to be, it's going to fly by.
Yep.
54 days.
We're almost there. Let's.
Going to blow right by. All right. Hey, let's see. Who am I going to choose this week? You know what? Just because he hasn't been on with us. Luke, where can everybody find us?
Oh, dang. You can find us at RIP Tour Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We have a Discord and a YouTube.
Good man.
And a podcast.
Good man. He remembers.
I can't keep up with the Discord. Like, I'll wake up and there'll be like, 20, 30 messages in the different rooms. And I'm like, whoa.
I see.
Yeah, it's the room. The rooms that are getting me.
Yeah.
I just want to apologize. I'm so bad getting on Discord. I really am. I'm so sorry.
I
really will try to make it at least once a week in there just to pop in and say hey and see what's happening with you guys.
There's some pretty interesting chats going on in there, to be honest, about speculation and movies and all that sort of stuff. So that's why I set up the different rooms, because, you know, some people like talking about different things. So we've got one for like movies, past Horror Nights events, this year's event. What else we got, Ash? We got a general chat. And then we have a newbie section where you can kind of introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Nice. And then lastly, Gary, where can everybody get merch?
At our Spreadshirt store. Or you can just literally Google RIP to our podcast and it'll take you there. We have a few cool designs. We have hats on there. We have t-shirts. There's hoodies. I believe, Tim, you've got a hoodie and a hat. Do you have a hoodie?
I don't have a hoodie, but I have a couple different hats that I ordered last time. And then I'm waiting for a certain design to be done so I can get a t-shirt. I'm tired. Sorry.
Quiet. But no, guys, honestly, this design is going to be awesome. As you've seen, might have seen on Twitter, if you follow us, we put a Meet the Team post out yesterday. We thought it was a good idea just to put a face to everybody's name, because we have had quite an uptake in listeners this year specifically. So we decided to put all the behind-the-scenes people on there who aren't, you know, me, Tim, Luca, Ash. So we have Brady, who runs our TikTok, and he just so happens to like everybody on the show bar Tim, so that's cool.
Yep, that's what he told me this morning.
So this year he's going to be, I mean, we started the TikTok kind of late last year, but this year he's going to be doing some stuff for the TikTok for us, which is pretty cool. And we also have Ashley, who is our designer. And last but not least, we also have Liz, who is Luke's better half. And she's also joined Ashley in helping us design this sick new shirt, which will drop just before the event. So I'm very excited for that.
Yes, I cannot wait.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that is it. Find us, tweet us, message us, let us know what you guys want to hear. This probably will be the last history episode before the event, if I had to take a guess, just because announcements will be coming, you know, probably quite rapidly. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but you know, I'm looking forward to that hype episode.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite episodes to do, you know, hype up those houses and scare zones and see where everybody's got their rankings before we even get into the event. And then, you know, see what happens at the event when we change them at the end of the event and go,
see how wrong we all are.
Yeah.
Actually, before we go, we did get one random voice message. Is that right, Tim?
Oh, I totally forgot about that. You want to play that?
Yeah, I'll play that. Pretty cool. We weren't asking for anything specific in terms of the team, but someone took the time to leave us a message. So here it is.
Hey, what's up, RP Tour Guide? My name is Thomas from Orlando. So I want to shout you guys out for being awesome. Four Nights Podcast, I listen to you and a couple others that I always keep up with. Loved your Blumhouse episode. I really enjoyed the first Horrors of Blumhouse just because I really loved Sinister and the music and the music of it. I just wish, you know, it was just Sinister. I'm really excited for the Black Phone, and I'm really excited to hear the music. The score for it's fantastic. It really reminds me of Sinister. I just want to shout out to you guys and my boy James, who I work with. We love listening to your guys' show. So enjoy the rest of your day, guys. See ya.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. You. Thanks, Thomas. We appreciate that, man.
That's it. Man,
that's it. That's the episode.
Sweet.
That's it. We're all just like, yep.
Woo.
All right. Until next time, guys, we'll, like I said, announcements are coming, so more episodes will be out soon. But if there's anything you guys want us to cover, I think we have a couple ideas in the bucket that could be coming quite soon that we'll keep under wraps until we're ready. But that's it, man. We'll see you in the fog soon. Thank God. We are getting there. So that's it. Have a good day, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.